So Stephen tells me he's giving up preaching for Lent. So, no, he wasn't given a choice, no. Well, you don't have to go. That's funny. Very funny. He's a funny man. Well, it's been a while since I gave you an update, so I thought I should give you another update. I should keep you informed and accountable. And I imagine this is a little like confession, although I've never been to confession. If I was to go to confession, I'd be there for a very long time. But it's been a little while since I went on the 5-kilometre park run. But I recently rejoined, and although I didn't go yesterday for reasons I won't bore you with, and again, a little like confession, I fully intend to go next week. But for those of you who aren't familiar with the park run, or who aren't quite as athletic as myself, there's quite an assortment of people who gather each Saturday for the run. And some are fairly obviously unfit, because I can judge them, of course. Some are dog walkers, and some finish in what seems like 5 seconds flat. But the most important thing to note, is that the majority of people wear their Lorna Jane best, complete with sweatbands. Or maybe not Lorna Jane, but maybe the whole Rebel Sports Shop instead. And safe to say, I'm not one of those people, you'll be glad to know. And I suppose one of the reasons that I didn't go yesterday and I've been a little bit lapse in returning was the memory of my last parkrun gig. You see, whilst what seemed to me everyone else was wearing their sportswear, it came back, thank you. While everyone else was wearing their sportswear, I turned up in this. My sportswear. Now, for most of you, for those of you who know anything very much, you'll recall that Superman or Superwoman has some fairly solid attributes. And two of those attributes being that Superman or Superwoman can fly, and secondly, they are not slow. They are instead fast. So imagine my embarrassment at this slow version of Superperson doing their best to get around the 5 kilometres when those who are significantly further than I, say at the turnaround point where you follow the same track back at the start line, when those people returning to the start line call out, "Go, Superwoman! Faster, Superwoman! Fly, Superwoman! Fly!" and some other varying other things also. Or imagine my delight when at my weekly primary school visit the following Friday, a lot of the kids greet me with, "Yay, there's Superwoman!" Speedy one. And I won't go any further, but suffice to say that I don't think I'll ever be wearing that top again. At least not when I'm meant to be running or meant to be fast. And admittedly, I didn't take too much notice in what I was wearing at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. But if I'd put some thought into it, I may not have chosen to wear that. In this passage, Romans 12, Paul reminds us to be careful that we live up to who we say we are and also what others think we are. And we're going to take a look at that passage right now. As you'll recall, last week we commenced a study of Romans 12. And we're taking 2 verses each week throughout Lent. So if you'd like to open your Bibles again to Romans 12. And I ask if anyone could read for us from verses 3 and 5. 3, 4 and 5. God, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Meyer. In these verses, Paul recognises that our opinion of ourselves has a much wider impact on the church as a whole and the attitudes we have towards each other. So it's the first thing we have to get in line with God, our opinion of ourselves. Paul describes the way that we should judge ourselves as sober, which indicates that we need to be honest with ourselves and understand the reality of the gospel as we are honest with ourselves. Instead, he wants us to understand that regardless of the differences, we've each received our salvation through grace from God alone. And this grace gives us equal standing as his children. Without Jesus, all of us would be lost in our guilt and sin. So we have equal standing as his children. And so if we are equal in God's eyes, how can we view ourselves more highly than others? We think, of course, to Philippians 2, the ultimate act of humility. But there is nothing that we possess which we have not been given by him, including even our faith, as 1 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us. And this means that there's no room for either superiority or inferiority in the church. If we don't go straight to God to find out who we are, we'll start to look to our left or to our right, and we'll start to compare ourselves with those around us. And that's a really dangerous place to be for those of us who have been there, isn't it? God does not judge by the same standards as we experience in the world. 1 Samuel 16:7. Our default setting, however, is to judge others on the basis of outward markers such as physical appearance, talent, status, wealth, power, and so on, if we're to go by the world's markers. But none of this matters to God. What matters to him is the inward markers, what goes on in our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit growing in us. He has appointed us with different gifts specifically, with a purpose that goes far beyond our human understanding. And because God sees the bigger picture, he understands how each one of us as an individual forms part of the whole church. In verses 4 to 5, as we've just read, Paul uses the picture of a human body to illustrate the point. Though some parts may appear less significant, they are vital in ensuring that the whole body functions well. The tiniest muscle in the human body, do you know what it's called? So I can pronounce it however I want to. That's good. It's called the stapedius. Stapedius? Okay, it's called in the ear. And it's found in the middle ear, as our Antarctic friend knows. Despite its size, it does an important job in protecting our ears from loud noises. As humans, we often see certain gifts, perhaps those that are more on show, as more praiseworthy than others. But for a fully healthy body, every single part is important. And I know we've heard this before, but we really have to grasp this, friends. Otherwise, our opinion of ourselves can make everything else go haywire. Pride and its close relation, false modesty, can throw a spanner in the works. And when it comes to a healthy, functioning church, by definition, our gifts are only what we have received from God. They have been given to us. Therefore, no one has any reason to boast or to feel hard done by. God hasn't specifically favoured some with better gifts, although you might like to be able to do some things, some extra things, but he has distributed them to all fit perfectly together for the work that he has prepared for us to do. It's extremely countercultural to see ourselves as just one small part of a much larger whole when the world talks about self. There are different ways that pride may interfere with the functioning of the church, and they're easy traps to fall into. It's tempting to want certain skills or tasks because of the status, because of the praise that accompanies them, instead of concentrating on putting our own gifts to good use. Maybe it is that you still don't know what your gifts are. Well, we're going to come to this possibly soon. But one of the saddest things is an elderly lady that I knew of. And she sat around just waiting to be told what her gift was. She wasn't, it seemed to me as though she wasn't doing an awful lot. Sometimes a good way of finding out what your gifting is to just get in and do it and see how it goes with you. But anyway, we'll come back to finding out about our gifts. If you need some help, if you need some tools to find out what your giftings are, please talk to us. But if we have an understanding of our gifts, it can also be very tempting to use them solely for personal gain or glory, rather than sharing the gifts that God has given us with the church. We keep them to ourselves. It's like part of the body withdrawing or refusing to cooperate with the other parts, forgetting that each member belongs to all the others. The antidote to these and other behaviours, which get in the way of a fully functioning body of Christ, is humility. And humility starts with being thankful, not just for our own unique combination of gifts, but also for what God has given to others. Genuinely encouraging each other and praising God when we see the outworking of his gifts in the life of another. It counteracts envy. And humility lies in remembering that on our own we cannot achieve much at all. We're always fully reliant on God working through us and through other members of the body. Because we all have our own limitations. Each part of the human body can only do so much on its own, 1 Corinthians 12:17 says. Now, I wonder, do you remember the Brownlee brothers race in 2016? It was a long time ago, wasn't it? Johnny Brownlee was in the lead at the final 300 metres when he began to suffer from exhaustion. Weaving across the track and almost coming to a stop, the video of his brother Alistair running up behind him, throwing Johnny's arm over his shoulder and supporting him to the finish line before pushing him into second place, himself taking third. It demonstrated the power of brotherly love, of sacrifice and humility. You see, we were made to work together, and that's how we work best. These verses that we're considering this morning are very important to bear in mind when thinking about our own church. Although they also apply to the wider church, they are lived out in the day-to-day workings of each church family. And we call it a family for good reason. Paul states that each member belongs to the others. There's a sense of connection between us as individuals. But how do we see this at work within our own church? Do we view it as a Sunday activity, a social club, perhaps, or a job even, or somewhere purely to think about God that's detached from the rest of our lives? When we really absorb what belonging to one another means, it connects us far more. And when we really place Christ in the centre, heaven truly meets earth. We all have different experiences of family, and for some of us, for some it might be hard to see family as a positive thing. But in a secure family unit, there is a strong loyalty and love that is noticeable in the members' actions toward each other. When it comes to other members of the church, do we show that same commitment that we see in a lovely family, in a loving family? The phrase "blood is thicker than water" is sometimes used to explain the strong bonds and allegiance between relatives. In a healthy church body, love for each other should be strong because those bonds are ultimate. And we recognise that we need to take care of every part, and a benefit to one is a benefit to all. Well, what can this mean for us? So there may be things that we need, there may be things that we need to reconsider about our attitude to church and to other believers. Maybe for some of us, it feels as if there's something holding us back from fully participating in church life. Perhaps church in the past has been a hurtful place, and you need to talk through and pray those experiences to allow for healing. Maybe you've got so many different or difficult commitments in life that church can feel like a burden and another thing to fit into the week. But whatever your experience, know that you're a necessary part of this church, of this course, so don't write yourself off. On the other hand, maybe you're the person who takes too much on, who fills in the gaps left by others. But how can we as the body of Christ help one another? It's always helpful to reconsider the way we view church, the body of Christ. It's so much more than just a club or organisation to contribute to. It's a living, breathing whole body where we can each connect to each other because of him. It's loved by God, so please don't cause it harm by idle gossip or other members. Please don't let it get in the way. Please don't get in the way of God doing his work. And please don't get in the way of others coming to him. We are told not to think too little of ourselves, but not to overestimate ourselves, because healthy esteem is important. It might just be that we have become too concerned with others, with their opinions perhaps. But evaluating yourself by worldly standards of success and achievement can cause you to think too much about your worth in the eyes of others. And then, when we do that, we miss out on our true value in God's eyes. Today, may we each be reminded by God that our identity is in him. It's in nothing else and in no one else. It's in him. In him, by the ultimate act of love he showed you and to me, we're able to stand confidently and assured of the value he has placed on you and me. And nothing or anyone can take that away. During this period of Lent, especially, let's think about how we can demonstrate generosity to each other and to demonstrate that bond through our actions of love, not just today but every day. And perhaps there's something that God is prompting you to do to show it. If he is, just do it. And we do that because of God's generosity towards us and his love for us. Perhaps today our views of others will be enhanced if we truly realise the value and love God has for us individually. How do we give our best to others? Let's look at our generous Jesus and learn from him. Amen.